We're doing Rav Chalap on Parshat Toldot, Perurim Meshulchan Gavoa, Shilton Yaakov Esav. So crumbs from a higher table. The concept of Yaakov and Esav having the throne, having rulership. The pasuk says, "Val charbecha tichye ve'tachicha tavod." You will live by the sword. You will serve your brother. When he is down, so then you will take off his yoke from your neck. The concept is like the rabbi, who is like an angel, the genius of Israel, the Holy One, the Maharal Miprag, in his work, Netzach Yisrael, Kitiviyutana Bari Shel Yisrael, the natural state of Israel, La'amod Bimrom Pisgat HaMa'alot, to be on the highest exalted level, Ve'rak Az Yisod Mitziutan, and only then does their existence have foundation. And that's why when they are not doing the will of the heaven, and then they're not fit for that greatness, that's why they have to be so downtrodden, because actually, if they're not in their state of greatness, in observance of Hashem, they don't really have existence. And the closest thing to non-existence is to be on the bottom rung. And that's why we're not average. We don't have the capacity of being average. We should be great, and if we don't have greatness, then we can't exist. So the closest thing to non-existence is being on the bottom. So we're supposed to be leaders, right? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Melech v'tzibur. We have a responsibility for the nation like kings. But that's when we live up to our responsibility.
So it's a hesed just to be on the bottom and not
right.
Entirely, which is what happens to other nations when they're not doing.
Right. Zeh mashamalo Yitzchak. That's what Yitzchak tells Esav. Ki azman shata tirdei alachicha Yaakov hukshe uparakta ulo mantzavarecha. Im rak lo tiye lo ata ita laavod. Im rak lo tiye lo ata leeved yehu lecha leeved ki kach metziuto. The existence of Yaakov is, if you're not his servant, he's your servant. There's no middle ground.
What's ufarakta?
Ufarakta means you will remove. You will take off. Yeah. Ulai zeu gan ken ma sheshenach Yaakov le'esav. Im lavan garti. Maybe that's also why Yaakov sends Esav word. In 2 weeks from now, he tells him, I lived with Lavan. Rashi says, teryag mitzvot shamarti. I kept all 613. Dehainu shodia lo shelo yechush klal lekiyum habrachot. Rashi says he was telling Esav, you have nothing to worry about. The blessings didn't come true. What's the idea? He's telling him, I kept 613 mitzvot. You don't have to worry. The blessings didn't come true. Yaakov was telling him, guess what? Dad said that when I keep 613 mitzvot, that's when the blessings will come true. And even so, look, I was by Lavan. I didn't no great shakes. I didn't become any great leader. V'zeu im lavan gauti agam shetoyag mitzvot shamati, saying, even though I kept 613 mitzvot, I was the stranger in Lavan's house. I was the bottom rung there. Mimken man chalachush l'inyan abachot. That's what he's telling Esav. What are you worried about? You see, the blessings aren't happening. V'gam hosher sheyesh l'ino kokach b'midah gdola, rak vahi litzon evet v'shichah. He says, and don't think I became so wealthy. I have some cattle, I have some servants.
What were the blessings?
The blessings, Hashem tells him, you'll have the blessing of Avraham. You'll expand, you'll have all of Israel. He says, I don't have that much. It's not what Dad said, I should have all the blessings of Abraham. That's why I'm telling my master. He's telling Esav, look, you're still the master. Look, you're getting all the blessings. He says, I don't see where they're ever happening. That's what Yaakov's trying to sell Esav, this load of goods. That's why Yaakov's telling him, my master. It's as though he's admitting. He's saying, look, Esav, you're in charge. So that's the idea of the rulership. It's number one, he says, we're either on top, because the Maharal says our nature is to be the most exalted, the holiest people, and that's really the foundation of our existence. And if we're not there technically, we can't exist. So we make it to the bottom rung and not less than that. But be'emet, that's why we're either here or there. Our existence is to be holy people.
When we get there, right, doesn't Esav serve us?
Yes.
He does their part, but also has a role.
Yes.
It's exalted, it's the idea, right?
Yeah. And that's perhaps why Yaakov was telling Esav, "In Lavan Karti, I kept 613, and yet I was still the stranger in the house." That's the final idea Rav Chalap says in this week's parsha. We have over here four short points. He says, by Esav, Hashem tells him, "You will live off the fat of the lands and the dew of the heavens." Whereas by Yaakov, he begins with the heavens. V'iten lecha Elokim mital hashmanayim u'mishmanei aretz.
This
maybe he doesn't say. I don't want to say. He just points out the point. He says. Oh, so let's hear him out. Okay. He says, what dew does is it gives rejuvenation to the earth. But what the dew really does is it connects the earth with the heavens. It's coming down from heaven. Now the earth has something heavenly about it. And that's why by Esav Hashem tells him, you will have the fat of the land, and in accordance with the land, you will have dew. But by Yaakov, it starts from the dew coming from heaven. It starts from a different place.
That's great.
What does it mean to have the fat of the land, and then the heavens will kind of cooperate? Whereas when it comes to Yaakov, you're starting in the heaven, and then
right.
The earth will produce.
Right.
Like, what does that mean for Esav? I understand what it means for Yaakov. Is that okay? We pray for the dew. We have this understanding that through whether it's tefillah, whatever it is, that our sustenance begins with the rachamim from Shamayim,
yeah.
That allows our earth then to produce thereafter.
Yeah.
Meaning, without the dew, the land of Israel won't produce; it'll be famine. What does it mean, though? Because if you were to say Mitzrayim, where they depended on the Nile, which is part of the earth. Then it starts in the earth, and then what are the heavens? What does the dew even kashur? But for Esau, it's saying that first the process begins in the land. I'm having trouble understanding because any land that isn't the Nile in Egypt or maybe the Euphrates in Iraq or whatever, it's going to depend on the heavens, no?
So what
does it mean?
Okay, so let's we'll start with Am Yisrael, and then we'll see Esau. Okay. Am Yisrael or Yaakov, our existence isn't because we have a land or because we have something to fight for. It starts with heaven. It starts with a concept. Hashem wants a nation here that's going to represent him. We have a job here. We have a job to live up to the Torah. There's a purpose. So Am Yisrael begins with heaven. Other nations begin with either a common cause or a common land. We don't begin there. We begin with Torah. We begin, Hashem gave us a guiding principle. So, mital shamayim. You begin with a heavenly concept. Then, mishmanei aretz. Then you can have the concept. I need a land. I need sustenance. But it's all to serve where do I come from? I come from heaven. Esav walks in and says, there's food. Give me food. Yaakov says, you're giving me the rights to the firstborn. Esav says, what do I need that for? Because if everything revolves around the earth, right now I want lentils, give me lentils. If I have to give up the heaven for the earth, I want the earth. And Esav clearly says that. So Esav needs dew, but he only needs it because his focus is the earth. It starts with the earth, mishmanei aretz, give me the fat of the land.
This is all mentality. This is all mentality that then gets translated into agricultural means.
Right.
And destiny. Esav's destiny, I think, is perfecting this world and not connecting this world to the next world, which is
okay.
Ours, I think.
Yafe. Yafe. The next point, he says, what does it mean to be motze chen? He says, that's something you can't put your finger on. That's charm. There's no real reason. It's not looks. It's not benefit. It's chen. It's charm. The only thing you have to know is that chen, charm, that's without Torah, comes and goes. The charm of Torah is a continuous charm. Charm without Torah, well, sometimes people find favor and sometimes they don't.
charm through Torah always
is consistent. Yeah, he says so Torah's charm is a long-term consistent charm.
So how does that comply with the pasuk that says sheker achim?
Wait. That's if it's without Isha Yirat Hashem. If it's Isha Yirat Hashem with Chayim, then it's better. What it says about Moshe is greater than what it says about Noach. Noach begins with Ish Tzadik Tamimaya, right? He ends up with Ish Adama, Vayachal Noach Ish Adama. After the story of the flood, he goes from Ish Tzadik to Ish Adama, man of the earth. Moshe begins his career, he's called Ish Mitzri. And at the end of his career, he's called Ish Elokim, the man of God. By Noach, it says, V'noach matza chen b'inei Hashem. But that was chen without Torah. Okay. By Moshe, it also says matza chen. Moshe says to Hashem, V'ata amarta yedaticha v'shem, v'gam matzata chen b'inei. Moshe says to Hashem, you said I find favor in your eyes. Yeah, Moshe's chen is through Torah. So that's why Moshe keeps growing. He can go from Ish Mitzri to Ish Elokim. It doesn't stop. You work with Torah, so the chen keeps growing. The chen of Torah keeps growing. So that's why Moshe kept growing. Noach was without Torah. So Noach went downhill. Israel was redeemed because of the future. When Hashem redeems them, Hashem says, He tells Moshe, tell them, Ehiyeh shelachani aleichem. What does that mean? It means I will be. The future. Meaning when Israel was redeemed from Egypt, it was with an eye on the future. It wasn't, okay, the present is problematic. Moshe says, what merits? Hashem says, I'll give them Torah, they'll do a circumcision, but right now Hashem's redeeming them, right? Their redemption begins with an eye on the future. Israel is the mitziut of the mahut of Shabbat. The existence of Israel represents the essence of Shabbos. Explanation, he says. When we have a Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, we say, Mekadesh HaShabbat v'Yisrael v'Azmanim. What does that mean? You're supposed to always have a blessing with one topic at the end of a prayer. Why do we have three topics? God gives holiness to Shabbos, to Israel, and the holidays. So Tosfos Rush explains, Hashem gives holiness to Shabbos, and Shabbos imparts its holiness to Israel, and Israel imparts its holiness to the holidays.
So without Shabbos, we don't have holiness?
Oh. Again?
So without Shabbos, neither are we nor the holidays.
Correct.
Holiness?
Correct.
What does that mean? How does Shabbos then give us holiness?
I don't know exactly how this works.
But Shabbos is an objective thing, no? The seventh day, God rest each other. What about Jews who, you know, if they're not Shomer Shabbat throughout the year, but then for holidays.
Let me give an example, even though it's not the literal explanation here. When a Jew walks into Shabbos, so he's stopped his work week, and he connects the Ribon Shom, and he has the concept that there's a king to the world. 6 days he told me to work, 7th day he told me to rest, and on that day I connect him. I walk out of Shabbos, I'm a different person when I walk into the week. But why am I stopping my work on Shabbos? Because Hashem told me to. I didn't say where the count starts. I didn't say where the count ends. It doesn't go by my birthday. It doesn't go by anything other than Hashem's creation. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Okay, day 7, rest. Hashem said so. It's all from above. I'm doing what He told me. But I walk out a different person. So Shabbos affects me. So I'm a different person. Comes the new month. And we, the courts, have to decide when to make the new month. And sometimes we alter it based on different decisions. The lunar calendar is 29 and a half days, which gives us wiggle room. Sometimes the new moon we dedicate on the 29th day, and sometimes on the 30th day. Sometimes a month has 30 days, and sometimes it has 29 days. How do you decide? Not only based on the moon, based on the court's decision also. Sometimes the courts decide, even though the new moon came yesterday, we're making the new month tomorrow. Where have we go room? The month is 29 and a half days. Ah, so I'm supposed to sanctify the month. But based on my decision, Pesach will fall out a day earlier or a day later. Right? Based on the court's decision. The court decides when to make the first of Nisan. The court decides when every month prior to Nisan as well. The court decides, and it's not just science. Ah, so wait a second. So I will sanctify the times. I meaning the people of Israel, we define the holiness of the times. How do I have power to do that?
Based on the time that's already put into structure, right? from the 7 days of the 6 days of creation plus Shabbat.
Correct. So Shabbat gives me holiness. Shabbat gives me a concept of holiness. I take that holiness I took from Shabbat, and now I have to apply it to the world, and we dedicate the Yamin Tovim. Now, it's much deeper than that. Right. We discussed it on a simple level.
Okay.
But that's... Shabbat is called, based on this concept, Techila Lemikrei Kodesh. It's the first, it's also the source. Lemikrei Kodesh, the days we designate as holy. We can do that from Shabbat. The nations can also dedicate sacrifices. Right. They get their holiness through Am Yisrael. Just like we get from Shabbos the capacity to sanctify the times, they get from Israel the capacity to sanctify objects, to sanctify things in this world. True sanctification, meaning true sacrifices. So that's why we, to the world, are like Shabbos to us. So Hashem created Shabbos to affect us, well, Hashem created Israel to affect the world. Now let's take this one step further and add what Rav Soloveitchik says. Originally, the whole world was supposed to get Shabbos. Shabbos was supposed to be a universal mitzvah. It's connected to creation. It's not a Jewish thing. God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh. So then the whole world should rest on Shabbos. And then at Sinai, suddenly, no. Hashem took away Shabbos from the world and gave it to us. The Talmud in Tractate of Avodah Zarah tells us that originally the whole world got the seven Noahide laws. And then at Sinai, Hashem said, as the verse says, Ra'ava yater goyim, Hashem saw, and he said, okay, I'm releasing your yoke. So Ra'ava yater goyim, Hashem said, I'm no longer giving you that yoke of the seven Noahide laws. The Talmud says, wait, the non-Jews aren't obligated to the Noahide laws? Yeah, they are. But beforehand, Hashem said, I was going to treat you differently and reward you for keeping them. Now I'm not rewarding you anymore for keeping them. Now you guys have to do it. You're not living up to it. The punishment is there's no more reward for keeping it. So they shifted at Sinai. At Sinai, Hashem did an accounting and said, they haven't been living up to their end of it. Okay, I'm changing their end of it. I'm changing my end and their end. Ah, so at Sinai, Shabbat got taken from them and given to us. At Sinai, we got a task to affect them the way Shabbat affects us. That's okay, so that's, I'm adding a point to what he said. Yeah?
How was the concept of Shabbat, since before Sinai it wasn't revealed, manifested to anybody, certainly to the nations? How do you even understand that concept? Where did that come from today? Or was that all in the future?
So we say in davening, Yismach Moshe b'matenat chelko. Our sages say, what's matenat chelko? That Moshe attained Shabbos for the Jewish people in Egypt. It seems like the concept of Shabbos was around, because Moshe came to Pharaoh and said, you want to exploit the Jews, you want to get the most out of them, give them a day off. You'll get much more out of them. And he attained Shabbos. It says, Yismach Moshe. Why was Moshe happy? Because he didn't know if he got the day right. He asked for a day off and he wasn't sure if that day was Shabbos. One out of seven, the odds are he got it off. And then when Hashem told him, this day is Shabbos, so Moshe said, oh, so I got it right. All along they were keeping Shabbos. Yismach Moshe. Moshe was happy. But we see that the concept of having a day off, of having one out of seven off, that concept predates the Torah. And even aside from Pharaoh in Egypt, Chukotea b'mara nitztavu b'azara. We sing on Shabbos. The Talmud tells us that when the verse says, Sham samlo choku mishpat v'sham nisau, when we first camped in Mara, it says we came to Mara, v'lo yachelu lishtot mayim mimara. They couldn't drink the waters of Mara, ki marimem, for they were bitter. Our sages say they couldn't drink the waters of Marah means they couldn't learn Torah. Ki marimem, because the people were embittered. So Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, okay, I'm giving you three mitzvos. And from those three mitzvos, they were able to learn the Torah from Marah onward. What were the three mitzvos? Kibbut Avaim, Shabbos, Parah Aduma. Kibbut Avaim, family structure. I know I have to respect my parents. I need a Masorah. I need a tradition. I have family. Shabbos, my time has a structure. I'm working the system and I have a beautiful day of Shabbos. Parah Aduma, part of the structure is there's holiness and non-holiness and I don't understand everything. That thing's beyond my understanding. If I can get those three, suddenly Torah becomes sweet. I need those three. So Chazal told us that even without the Medrash about Moshe in Mitzrayim, Sham Samlo, the Jews left Egypt, they were embittered. Through these three mitzvot, they were sweetened. Shabbos. So we got Shabbos already in Marah.
That's a beautiful, thought, but I still... this whole concept of the way a Jew is supposed to keep Shabbos is so different than just which is still beneficial if somebody works hard all week, have a day of recharge, but without the structures, one can get in a lot of trouble all the time in their hands, bread and circuses, the whole thing. So I don't know how, I don't really understand it. I understand the muscle you gave for Am Yisrael to give us his to progress, but the idea of how they would know what it is. I come as labor to study the laws of Shabbos and how to keep Shabbos properly and what that means to get a 60th of the world to come. And with all the true Masorah we have behind us and all those, it's still incredibly hard. So to say that at some level the world which was meant for everybody and they should have known something before, and some did know something, right? There's all these things out from the
patriarchs. It's the same way that monotheism was meant for everybody, and then somewhere along the lines it took them out.
But define monotheism, the idea that we are a created being, to me, is not as much of a stretch.
It's not a matter of how much of a stretch. Obviously, there's going to be longer stretches and shorter stretches. So Shabbos might be a longer stretch than monotheism. However, the point remains the same, is that if it was indicated for the world and someone took a wrong turn, this is where that wrong turn went.
We just learned that the only reason we're doing this is because God said to do it, which implies
that's that we're giving. That's not the only reason. That's the first reason. Whereas he also said that there's 100 more reasons. We didn't talk about 100, but we said reasons such as without being sanctified by Shabbat, how can we then sanctify the rest of time?
When you first learn to do it, or a kid or something, you might say, I'd rather not be doing it today. Then you get to a point where you make it into an ark and you hope sanctify it. Then even if God did tell you, you might do it. But that's not the reason. The reason we do it is it shouldn't come to us the way Abraham got that there's monotheism. I think Shabbat has to be, and then they say that this was somehow known and given to the world. It's kind of like the idea of the woman in the
Wait. I'm not sure that Rav Soloveitchik means it was given to the world. The intention was the world would receive Shabbat.
Where does he bring that from?
I don't know.